For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts. Amen. To settle accounts, to be in right relationship, what does it require, in fact, to settle accounts and be in right relationship? Now, how many of you recall the once famous commercial where the dad and his child are watching the sunrise? And just as the sun fills the sky, the child looking up at their dad, their arms lovingly around each other, exclaims, "Dad, make it do it again." Remember that? It was classic. I think it was for Lifesavers candy, but I actually don't recall. But I do remember the scene in the commercial perfectly, because my father, every time that commercial came on TV, would cry every time. It actually became a big joke in our family. When the commercial would come on, we would all stop watching the commercial and stare at Dad and wait for the tears. Well, actually, to be honest, my dad cried a lot, and we always knew when he was about to cry. Whenever my brother read a poem at Thanksgiving meal, every year at Maundy Thursday service when he got his feet washed, every toast he ever made at any celebration, and well, that commercial with the kid and their dad. My father wasn't an overly emotional person. My father was vice president of a major company, and my dad could be all business and was a strong leader with a lot of talents. What my father also was, though, was highly empathetic. He had a great ability to feel, a gift for connection to others' feelings and to his own, and as it turns out, a very low ability to shut off the waterworks, but we loved him for that. It was one of the reasons that he was a great dad. He could manage, he could lead, and he could also feel. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wished to settle accounts. Peter in our gospel today is asking, how often should I forgive? And so Jesus tells a story of a king and his ability to feel. Jesus often turned to story to teach, because story offers the student a chance to enter into their imaginations about how the values and ethics that Jesus was teaching could actually be lived out. Now, remember last week we were reminded that love is the fulfillment of all law. So it is not surprising that this week we are looking at forgiveness, because love is about being in right relationship. Love is found in the justice of restored relationship, and forgiveness is a part of restoring relationship. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king seeking to settle his accounts. Now, let's notice that when Peter hears about the importance of love, he doesn't ask, should I forgive? He asks, how often should I forgive? 7 times? And Jesus says, no, 77 times. Jesus says, in right relationship, we will have to push ourselves beyond our comfort zones. We will have to extend ourselves, and we will have to sacrifice. So Jesus tells a story to help the disciples imagine how to live out forgiveness. Now, before I get into the story, I believe I would be remiss to ignore the language in the story, because language matters, and we could get caught up in it, and it could distract us from the point of the story. So the word slave is a triggering word in this country, rightly so. And so I want to say that a slave in Jesus' time, the word in Greek that gets translated to slave in our English language, had multiple meanings, as most words do. The original word that this word slave comes from could mean servant or child. The word denotes a relationship of dependence. While the term slave in this country denotes a relationship of ownership, permanent and generational ownership, owned like property with no end, not even in your death, but that your children and your children's children would remain property of the master. There were those slaves in the Bible too. Think Exodus, slaves to the Pharaoh. But this story is about a servant, a person serving a temporary servitude to a lord or a landowner. And I want to denote the difference here because passages like this have been used to justify or normalize slavery in this country. And that is a gross misuse of Holy Scripture. It comes out of ignorance of both Scripture and the history of that time and the history of our country as well. Here, Jesus tells a story about a servant who owes his landowner a debt. The landowner goes to the servant to settle his account, to do business with his servant. The servant tells the Lord he is unable to settle the accounts. The Lord's first response is to seek the justice of revenge, to take everything from the servant in order to settle the account, his account. His first impulse is to protect himself and his property. But Jesus continues, the servant fell to his knees and begged the Lord, "Have patience with me." In that moment, something shifts for the landowner. Something shifts, and he ceases to think about himself or his property, and instead he feels for the servant, asking for patience and understanding. From that place of feeling, the Lord's response then becomes forgiveness. And it says, the Lord forgave him all his debts. And then Jesus offers us in this parable a paradox. The paradox in this story is that the forgiven servant has the same opportunity to forgive another. And what does he do with that opportunity? What is his response? The forgiven servant grabs the other servant who refuses to pay his debt. He grabs him by the throat and chokes him. His response is one of rage, power over. He is seeking the justice of revenge. Now, we could speculate as to why he is so enraged. Perhaps he has asked for this debt so many times before. Perhaps without this debt being paid, he and his family would go hungry. Who knows? But the paradox highlighted for our learning in this parable is simple. The kingdom of heaven is found in the action of the Lord who forgives, who chooses the justice of restored relationship over the justice of revenge. The kingdom of heaven is like. But then the story gets a little more nuanced and complicated, because next we see what happens to the servant who refuses to forgive, right? The forgiveness originally offered to that servant is withdrawn. And it says, in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. And in anger, the servant is handed over to be tortured. And then the parable ends with, and this is what God will do with you if you do not forgive others. That complicates things a bit. How is it that God can forgive all our sins except if the sin is that we refuse to forgive others? Parables are meant for our learning, not to answer our questions, but in fact to lead us into deeper questions. That is the way of Jesus' teaching, to lead us into deeper questions. So the questions I have from this parable are this. What is it that allows the Lord originally to forgive the debt of the servant? And likewise, what does the servant lack that keeps him from offering that same forgiveness to the person indebted to him? And then my second wondering is exactly what is the torture that the servant experiences when he refuses to forgive? I want to begin with the second question. What is the torture that the servant experiences because he refuses to forgive? This week, we had a deeply rich and thoughtful Bible study. In our discussion about forgiveness, a member of the Bible study shared a story with us, just like Jesus did for our learning. She offered us a story of a person who had harmed her family. She said, after the original harm had been done, that she woke up every morning thinking of the revenge she could take out on that person for the harm that they had done to her family. Every morning, she said, for a year, the revenge she sought was the first thing on her mind. But then one day, after a year of this, she woke, and rather than revenge, her mind turned. It turned toward the person who had caused the harm. She began to think, like maybe they had been thinking. She said she began to be curious. She began to imagine what was happening in his life to make him do such a thing. And lo and behold, she began to feel. To feel what he may have been feeling when he caused this harm. In that place, she was able to feel her feelings of pain along with his feelings of pain. She offered this up in prayer, and the obsession with revenge faded and eventually went away altogether. But for a year, 365 days, she was tortured by these obsessive thoughts of revenge. She was held captive by them. This person is a deeply spiritual person, a woman of great capacity and compassion. But for a year, her capacity for compassion was thwarted by seeking revenge. Her energy was captive, and she was slave to them rather than being free to serve God. Now that, for her, being a woman of great charity, was a kind of torture. Now, we have all had these moments. Every single one of us, if we have lived and been in relationship at all, we too have had moments when we are tortured by our own seeking of revenge, our lack of ability or willingness to forgive those that have harmed us. Being held captive by anger or the seeking of revenge is, in fact, torturous. This is not something God does to us. It is something we do to ourselves. And here's the thing. God cannot save us from our self-torture unless we see it and turn away from it. That is repentance, to turn away from sin and toward God. I believe that this is the inevitable torture that is ours when we choose to hold on to the debts of others in our hearts, and when we seek revenge rather than restored relationship. So what then enables us, when we are harmed, to seek the justice of restored relationship rather than the justice of revenge? In both stories, the king and the member from Bible study, They both had a moment of turning toward right relationship, toward God, when they allowed themselves to feel. To feel, not just their feelings, but the feelings of the other. We call that practice the practice of empathy. Empathy is the ability and willingness to feel with someone when they are in pain or when they are celebrating, to feel with, not for, but with them. Now, these days, the ability to feel anything may be difficult to do. With so many stories of pain and struggle everywhere we look, combined with our own feelings of pain and struggle, feeling anything may be overwhelming at best and sometimes unbearable. This reality of being unable to feel with is called empathy burnout. Empathy burnout is a real thing, and it is avoidable. Some folks attempt to avoid empathy burnout by turning off the news, or limiting their time with those in pain, or cutting off from their own pain. And all of that makes a whole lot of sense. But avoiding pain does not make pain go away. Avoiding pain can, in fact, make us more fragile. It can make the muscles of empathy weak. And then, when avoiding pain is no longer an option, we find ourselves with a limited capacity to truly feel. This is itself a place of torture, because we are not really useful to God or our neighbor when we've lost the ability to feel. So how do we build the muscles of empathy so that we too can be like the king who wished to settle his accounts, who initially sought right relationship, who initially was able to forgive? Building the muscles of empathy takes the same practice as building any other muscle. We have to use it or we'll lose it. In the 6 Habits of Highly Empathetic People that was developed by the Greater Good Science Center, they offer 6 practices to build the muscles of empathy. First, they say lean into curiosity rather than judgment. For those of us who love to be the judge, leaning into curiosity is a great place to begin. Rather than assuming I know why a person acts the way they do, I can become curious about the person and their actions. This is what turned the tide for our Bible study member. She entered into curiosity. Second, discover commonalities. Focusing on what we share in common can increase our connection to others. Third, we can gain experience of other people's lives. When we live in our bubble, it's easy to build a thesis around why people do what they do. But when we truly encounter the experiences of others by stepping out of our bubble and genuinely engaging with the other in their lived experience, we build real knowledge rather than resting in a place of assumptions. Fourth, Jesus says, listen and understand. Listening is key in building empathy. Listening deeply to understand, not to be right, but to get it right. Fifth, they say, change one thing. Be active, not passive, in the problems you see before you. Human agency is crucial in building empathy. If we feel we have no agency in a situation, we tend to avoid it naturally because we feel we have no power to change it. But when we set our minds on the power or agency we do have, change one thing, we connect with our capacity and our hearts open up to those that are impacted, and we no longer have to avoid the pain, theirs or ours. And lastly, they say, love your enemies. They say that, as does our Holy Scripture. Don't reserve our empathy for those just on the margins or those we pity, but extend it even to those who we feel are our enemy. Imagine what they may also be feeling. Imagine how they may be struggling and trying their best, turning from self to other, even when that other is our enemy. Folks, the ability to feel with others is no small thing. Empathy is the key to seeking right relationship. The king in our story today, the Bible study member here at Grace, and my father are human examples of the power of empathy. Many of the saints that served this world so well, many had the power of great empathy. So building empathy isn't just about avoiding our own self-torture. It is about building the kingdom of God. And we too are living examples of the power of empathy. We have the capacity to feel with others. When we practice this, we shine the light of love. We model for others the way of love, and this is our best tool for evangelism. This love and this empathy is what the world needs desperately right now. Honestly, it may be our life's work. Building empathy in a world full of so much pain is hard, but that is why we come to this table to be fed. That is why we pray the prayers of the people. That is why we seek community and forgiveness and belonging so that we can offer to a broken world a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. Like a king wishing to settle his accounts, wishing to be in right relationship. Amen.